I hope we have the sermon notes with us on this Good Friday when the whole world remembers the passion of Jesus Christ. We are here to be able to remember Christ and also recognize that it was a good thing that has happened on that Good Friday. We have been meditating on a kind of a series, if I may, since last Sunday, though this is the second part of it. It is a Passion Week series, in other words. Passion Week, where we have meditated upon what happened on Sunday, the Palm Sunday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, the 4 days. And we're going to continue what happened on Thursday and Friday today. So may the Lord help us in being able to meditate on His Word. May we have an undivided attention to the listening of God's Word. Maybe it's a well-known aspect about this incident that has happened. But may the Lord speak to us afresh as we start reading through one of the scriptural portions that is printed on your sermon notes, which is Isaiah chapter 53, the entire chapter. The entire chapter of Isaiah chapter 53. It is printed on your sermon notes. Request each one of us to read it aloud carefully. May the Lord speak to us when we read this verses itself. Maybe we might not have focused our attention on many portions of this particular chapter. Maybe only a few verses we have been looking at it in the past. But today we are going to read the entire chapter of Isaiah chapter 53. Shall we all read this together, please? Who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. He has no form or comeliness, and when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who will declare his generation? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people he was stricken. And they made him his grave with the wicked, but with the rich at his death, because he has done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. When you made his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the labor of his soul and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant shall justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bore the sin of many, and made intercession for transgressors. Wonderful chapter. This is a prophetic chapter that was recorded by Isaiah much before the coming of Lord Jesus Christ. This is talking about how Jesus went through the sufferings, a man of sorrows, a God who became man, and he took all our punishment upon him. The iniquity of us all, our transgressions, our sin, everything he took forth. Wonderful chapter. As we meditate, as we continue the series on Passion Week, let us try to understand what we can learn from this Passion Week. Just as a recollection, last Sunday, we went through Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. On Sunday, by the way, we were meditating primarily from the book of Mark, the Gospel of Jesus according to Mark, where it was clearly mentioned as to what happened on each day, the next day morning, etc. So how it was split from Mark chapter 11 up to chapter 14, verse 11, how it happened on Sunday, the palm tree, the Monday, the fig tree, how Jesus, cursed the fig tree, and on Tuesday, how Jesus sat on the Mount of Olives and spoke to his disciples, the Olivet Discourse, and on Wednesday, the spikenard tree, from where that perfume was produced, and how the woman anointed Jesus Christ and prepared him for burial. Many things that we have learned last Sunday. We are going to continue today with a few more aspects about what has happened from the same book of Mark. Mark, if you have your Bibles, please open it. And we are going to look at the continuation of the Passion Week. Continuation of the Passion Week as to what has happened. Okay, we stopped at Mark chapter 14, verse 11. So now we are going to pick up from verse 12 onwards. We're not going to read every verse, otherwise it's going to be a while for us to complete. So I'm going to give you a synopsis of what has happened in this particular verses from chapter 14, verses 12 through 31. 12 through 31. There are two main aspects that are shown here. The thing that we see here in verse 12, on the first day of the unleavened bread, when the Passover was being sacrificed, his disciples said to him, "Where do you want us to go and prepare for you to eat the Passover?" The Passovers were annual events that have happened during the ministry of Jesus Christ over the 3 years. There were three Passovers. This was the last Passover. And on this, the Passover, it starts on the first day of the unleavened bread, the feast of the unleavened bread, where the Passover lamb was going to be sacrificed. This was Thursday evening. On Thursday evening, you can note it down, the verses Mark 14, 12 to 31. There were two incidents that have happened. Verse 12 to 21 is the last Passover, and 22 to 31 is the Lord's Supper. The last Passover, verse 12 to 21, and verses 22 to 31 is the Lord's Supper, or in other words, the communion, which we call to have communion with our God. As it mentions in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and 11, talks about the word communion or the Lord's Supper or Eucharist or giving thanks. So two things have happened here, primarily, if you want to notice. And where did this happen? Jesus, as you remember, last Sunday we meditated upon it, from Bethany to Jerusalem, every day he was commuting. Nights he used to spend at Bethany, and the daytime he used to spend in Jerusalem. And that is how on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday he did it. On Wednesday, while he was in Bethany at Simon the leper's house, this incident has happened on Thursday in verse 12, we notice that they are getting prepared for the Passover. Just to give a picture as to what has happened, Bethany, if you remember last Sunday again, there was a map that I showed, Bethany, and from there they were going to Jerusalem. I tried to zoom in the city of Jerusalem. I didn't zoom in the Bethany as such because the focus is on the city of Jerusalem. So Jesus, he traveled from Bethany for the last time on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. Now on Thursday, Jesus, for the last time, he was traveling from Bethany to Jerusalem. And here we notice that Jesus prepares, he sends two of his disciples in verse 13 to go into the city, which is Jerusalem, and tells him that there's going to be an owner of a house, and there is going to be a large upper room in verse 15, to prepare that upper room for their last supper, the Passover meal that Jesus was going to have. The two disciples that went, other gospel writers mention it, Peter and John. These were the two disciples that were sent into the city ahead of time to prepare the upper room. The upper room is where the Lord's Supper the last Passover has happened, as well as the last supper. Two things have happened, the Passover meal and the communion. Passover meal from an Old Testament perspective, and from a New Testament perspective, the communion. The end of the Old Testament, the way in which they were having the Passover meals was the last thing that has happened, and a new thing that was going to happen was the new covenant or the communion that they have to be established. In the Old Testament days, they used to celebrate the Passover meal, but going forward, there's going to be an ordinance of the Lord's Supper or the communion. So that is what we see here. I want us to focus on what is the thing that we can note down on that Thursday evening. Please note it down. There was a guest room. Some of the other gospel writers uses the word guest room. Upper room or the guest room. Upper room or the supper room. They had Lord's Supper for the last time, right? They had a supper. So this happened in the evening. And Jesus tells them that one of the 12 will betray him. And that is what the story is. And also we notice that they had the communion. And we read from verse 22, while they were eating, he took some bread and after a blessing, he broke it and gave it to them. And take, eat, this is my body. We are going to take part in the communion today as we remember Christ and his sacrifice. And also in verse 23, when he had taken a cup and given thanks, he gave it to them and they all drank from it. And he said to them, this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many, or the blood of the new covenant. Or the cup of the new covenant, New Testament, in other words, you can note down New Testament, cup of the New Testament. This happened in the guest room, upper room, where they sat together and Jesus was talking about a new covenant. All this while they were following the covenant according to Moses, the law that was given that they have to continue to follow this Passover and many other things. But Jesus initiated a new ordinance in terms of being able to say that you're going to start taking part in the communion. The bread and the cup, the bread that he broke, he said, this is my body. And that is the picture, if you see there, that the bread and the cup, just behind you might see a small, slight picture of it. I don't know if you can see it. There's a lamb here. There's a lamb. It may not be very clear for you, but there's a lamb, the Passover lamb. They were having the Passover meal, and also Jesus initiated or instituted the Lord's Supper or the Lord's table, or in other words, the communion. This was a wonderful way in which on that guest room or the upper room, we could see the Old Testament part being fulfilled and the New Testament to start off in terms of the way in which things were happening. And we notice here that Jesus initiated this aspect. Every Sunday we meet together, because the Bible says on the first day of the week when we met together to break bread. And the more often we meet, as often as possible we meet, we want to remember Jesus Christ. The bread and the cup. The bread that symbolizes the body of Jesus Christ that was given for our sake. And the cup, the grape juice that is crushed and produced as a grape juice, symbolizes the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed for us on the cross of Calvary. Verse 26, Mark chapter 14 and verse 26. After singing a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. And Jesus said to them, this is what is, you are going to get scattered. But Peter said to him, even though all may fall away, I will not. Peter was a representation of, I can do things. It is my works that will enable me to be able to stand for him. And Peter had to be told that he is going to deny Jesus Christ that night. And now we are going to go to the second aspect. Thursday evening, this was what has happened. Two main events. The Lord's Supper and the last Passover. Last Passover and the Lord's Supper. Okay? Now let us go to the second event that has happened, which is Thursday night. Thursday night. We split these 2 days into four main events that have happened from a timing perspective. And that is taken from Mark chapter 14, verses 32 all the way to 72. Why? Because 15th chapter verse 1 says early in the morning. So this happened on Thursday night. Thursday night, late night. Notice this very carefully, my dear. There were many things that have happened. What happened? In verse 26, they went to the Mount of Olives while they were going on the way and all that. So let us see the picture again. This picture that lets us understand the next slide. Here we notice that from the upper room, I tried to give a sequence also, sequence of the events that have happened. Thursday evening, from Bethany to the upper room or the guest room where they had the last Lord's Supper. And then from the upper room, they went to the Mount of Olives. Remember the picture last Sunday that we went through it? that Mount of Olives, at the foot of the Mount of Olives is a place called Garden of Gethsemane. And they go to that place, verse 32. Mark chapter 14, verse 32, please read. And then he takes Peter, James, and John, and he began to be very distressed and troubled. So we notice here that this happened at the Garden of Gethsemane. What is Gethsemane? Gethsemane means olive press. The meaning of the word Gethsemane is olive press. Because there was Mount of Olives there, they were pressing those olives to produce oil. And that is why it's called olive press or Gethsemane. And there was a garden. Now you notice, interestingly, Thursday evening, what happened? There was an unknown person, a stranger, who gave his upper room for Jesus and his disciples in order to be able to have their Passover meal and also the institution of the Lord's Supper. An unknown person, but he was willing to. If you remember in the Palm Sunday also, there was an unknown person who gave his donkey to Jesus Christ. And on Thursday, then an unknown person who gave his upper room to Jesus Christ and his disciples. And now, an unknown person who gave his garden, because it is a private gardens typically that they used to have. It's a garden. It's not an open place, but it's a garden where he opened up that place for these people to go and spend some time. Jesus used to go there very often. And here we notice that the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus wanted to spend time in prayer. Jesus wanted to spend time in prayer. Let us note down what has happened on Thursday night. Note it down, Gethsemane. Thursday evening, guest room. And Thursday night, Gethsemane. And on the bottom, you can note down, cup of suffering. Cup of New Testament, which is a communion that Jesus initiated. And on Thursday night, it was a cup of suffering. How do we know that? Verse 36. As he was saying, Abba, Father. The closest relationship that Jesus had, he was able to say Abba or Dada, Nana, whichever language that you use. That is the closest relationship where he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Remove this cup from me, yet not I will, but you will. What is this cup? The cup that was mentioned in verse 23 of the same chapter is the cup of the New Testament that Jesus initiated. And here in verse 36, it is talking about the cup of suffering that Jesus was going to drink of, or suffering that he was going to go through. Matthew chapter 26 wonderfully describes this prayer of Jesus Christ. Three times he prays. And just, you can bookmark this Mark chapter 14 and just go to Matthew chapter 26. Wonderfully, Jesus teaches us wonderful lessons about prayer. Not only on Monday when Jesus went into the temple and cleansed the temple and he said, my house shall be called a house of prayer. But Jesus himself was an example of prayer. And in verse 39 of chapter 26, listen to this carefully. He went a little beyond them and fell on his face and prayed, saying, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me, yet not as I will, but as you will. He was praying a prayer. Humanly speaking, he had to go through the cup of suffering. Or in other words, a cup of separation. Much more than the suffering, it is a cup of separation. Where when he was going to carry the sin of the whole world, there was going to be a very short time of forsaking between God the Father and God the Son, because God the Son is taking up the whole punishment of sin and he became the sin. And he knew that there was going to be a short separation. And that was a very, very painful thing, much more than the physical suffering. He had the suffering of being able to have that short separation when he was going to die for the sin of the whole world, including yours and mine. But humanly speaking as well, he was going to go through this suffering. So he prayed this prayer in Matthew chapter 26. The first time when he prayed, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me, yet not as I will, but as you will. Wonderful truths that we can learn, my dear. Many times, we may go through certain sufferings in our lives, but I've been learning this lesson from Jesus Christ as an example. to be able to say, yes, I know it is painful, but yet not as I will, but as you will, as the Father's will. May the will of the Father happen in this regard. And then he comes back, meets his disciples, and tells them, you watch and pray so that you may not fall into temptation. And then verse 42, he prays again a second time. You know what he prayed the second time? He went away a second time and prayed, saying, my Father, if this cannot pass away unless I drink it, your will be done. Notice the way, the sequence of the events. First, he said, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Yet not my will, thy will be done. And then, the second time when he prayed, he was ready to accept the will of God. If it is that I have to drink from this cup, in verse 42, unless I drink it, your will be done. He was ready to now accept the will of God, and he was willing to go through that suffering and separation. And then the third time again, we notice in verse 44, he left them again and went away a third time, saying the same thing once more. Verse 42, what did he say? If this cannot pass away unless I drink it, your will be done. It's God's will that has to be done in our lives, my dear. Jesus Christ was a great example of a God-man. While he was going to go through that cup of separation from a relationship with God the Father, he was going to go through the cup of suffering as well. He was going to die on the cross of Calvary for your sake and my sake, but he was getting prepared. Thursday night was a great preparation for him. And we notice that he was strengthened also. Other gospel writers talks about it, that the angel came and strengthened him. So much so that he was going to go through certain aspects that night. You know what was going to happen? As I was mentioning to you, that separation that he was going to have for a short while, the sin that he was going to carry, the suffering that he was going to go through, and there was one more thing, and that is a betrayal. Betrayal of one of the 12 disciples who was going to betray him that night. The one who went with him all through his public ministry, but never really understood who this Jesus was to the extent of being able to betray him. But it was a prophecy that had to be fulfilled. Mark chapter 14, it says in verse 43, immediately while he was still speaking, Judas, one of the 12, came up accompanied by a crowd with the swords and clubs, who were from the chief priests and the scribes and the elders. Now he was betraying him. He has given them a signal. Whomever I kiss, he's the one, seize him and lead him away. And there are certain other things that have happened. Peter goes and cuts one of the ears of a high priest servant. And Jesus says, I have not come for violence. And he goes and heals that person. And also in verse 51, there was a young man who was following him wearing nothing but a linen sheet over his naked body, and they seized him. And people say that this person is the author of this gospel, which is John Mark as well, who must have been there watching what was going on. And now in verse 53, there were certain other events that have happened. So let us look at that. This was what has happened, this particular thing. From Garden of Gethsemane, that night, they were taken to the high priest's house with the Sanhedrin. High priest's house with the Sanhedrin. So let us look at that as to what has happened here in Mark chapter 14, verse 53 onwards. He'll be taken to the high priest's courtyard, and also certain events that have happened there as well. I'm not going to go through each and every aspect of it as I was telling you. And there we notice that Peter denies Jesus Christ three times in verses 66 to 72. Verses 66 to 72, Peter denies Jesus Christ. Peter denies Jesus Christ. And here he says, I don't know him. I don't know him. Many times people who have been following Jesus, they were not able to really recognize. They were afraid. For example, Peter, he was afraid to be able to tell that he knew who Jesus was. And he immediately said, I don't know this man. I don't know what you're talking about. And in verse 72, immediately a rooster crowed a second time, and Peter remembered how Jesus had made this remark to him, "Before a rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times," and he began to weep. These are the moments that were going on in the life of Jesus Christ. The people that surrounded him. Not only the separation, the cup of separation and the cup of suffering that he was going to go through, but also he was going to go through betrayal and denial of the people who used to go and travel with him. One of them betrayed him and one of them denied him. The one who betrayed him, Judas Iscariot, and the one who denied him, Peter. Judas Iscariot went through remorse. Remorse means he felt bad. But Peter, he wept bitterly. In other words, we can understand the fact that he repented. There's a difference between remorse and repent. Remorse means feeling bad. Oh, you are supposed to go in the north, right? I-95 north. Oh, I'm sorry, I was going the wrong way. Oh, I'm sorry, I'm going the wrong way. He's going the wrong way. I-95 south, he's going down, down, down. He's feeling sorry. Definitely he's feeling sorry. But what is he doing? He's still going down I-95 south. Where is he supposed to go? He used to go up there, up north to New York or someplace. That is called a remorse. Feeling bad, feeling sorry, but not taking the necessary action. But Peter, he wept bitterly, and we can see how his life changed later. That means there was a repentance in his life. Or in other words, there is a U-turn that had to be taken. Many times when people have committed sin or they realize that they are sinners, there's just a remorse. Just a remorse, feeling bad for what has happened. But there should be repentance, my dear. Where repentance means U-turn, maru manasu, or they're taking a U-turn in order to be able to go back. And that is what we see in the life of Peter. And then we notice certain other incidents that have happened. Let us look at that on Friday morning, chapter 15, Mark chapter 15. We are going to go through chapter 15, verses 1 through 21. It says, early in the morning, that is Friday morning. Typically 6 a.m. is considered a morning hours. And that is where the rooster crowed, right? Rooster crowed twice because it's morning hour. And Peter denied Jesus by then. And now the morning has begun in chapter 15, verse 1. Early in the morning, after going through the high priest's place and the Sanhedrin and others, now in verse 1, the chief priests with the elders and scribes and the whole council immediately held a consultation, and binding Jesus, they led him away and delivered him to Pilate. Let us see that. In here, if you notice, now the next event that has happened. Now, just for a recollection of the events that have happened Thursday evening, Bethany to upper room, Thursday night from upper room to the Garden of Gethsemane, and Thursday night again from Garden of Gethsemane to the high priest's house with the Sanhedrin, where there were Peter's denials. Now, Friday morning, he was taken to Pontius Pilate's praetorium, or in other words, that place is called the pavement or Gabbatha. Gabbatha or pavement, it says. And that is what we see here as to what has happened here in Gabbatha here. So Pilate questions Jesus as to who he was. And also he tells that there is a person whom I can release on this day. Do you want me to release Jesus or do you want me to release Barabbas? And that is what it says in verse 7. The man named Barabbas had been imprisoned. Barabbas was released, but Jesus was crucified. Barabbas was released to tell that we are released, and Jesus took up that punishment. And that is what we notice in this particular story. They said, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" We don't know how many of those people who said Hosanna on Sunday, on the Palm Sunday, started saying, crucify him on this Friday morning hours. From 6 to 12, Jesus went through trials. You know, other gospel writers talk a little more about this. There is another event that has happened. Jesus was taken from Pilate to Herod's place. Herod says, "This is not my responsibility. I don't see anything that I can do. Please send him back." So Jesus is taken back from Herod's palace to Pontius Pilate's praetorium or Gabbatha. That is what has happened. Jesus went through so much of mockery. He went through so much of trial. Already last the previous night, he went through betrayal. He went through denial. And now he's going through trial. What is going on in Jesus' life? Right? Why? For whose sake Jesus had to go through all of this? For your sake and my sake. The betrayal and the denial and the trials that he went through is for your sake and my sake. He came, he had to go through, he was tired and he was going through all of this. And when we notice what was going on here, we see that Jesus, verse 16, Mark chapter 15 and verse 16, the soldiers took him away into the palace, that is praetorium, or the pavement, it says in other gospel books, it says Gabbatha, and they called together the whole Roman cohort, verse 17, notice this carefully. They dressed him in purple, and after twisting a crown of thorns, they put it on him. Note it down, what happened on Friday morning, Mark chapter 15, verses 1 through 21, Gabbatha. Mark chapter 15, verses 1 to 21, Gabbatha. Guest room, Gethsemane, and Gabbatha. What happened at Gabbatha? Verse 17, it says that they dressed him up in purple, and after twisting a crown of thorns, they put it on him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews." Those people who proclaimed him, "Hosanna, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord" on Sunday, now we notice that after they shouted, "Crucify him, crucify him," they put on him the crown of thorns. When I saw this picture of the crown of thorns, each one thorn that gets into our little finger or a toe, it pains us so much. I still remember an incident that has happened with our son, Jason. He was a little young, I think maybe 5-6 years probably. And he was playing outside, barefoot. And there was a small thorn that went into his toe. And he was struggling with pain. I could see that black part that can be seen, but I couldn't take it out. We tried to get some tools to try to take it out because he didn't even allow us to touch it. And I had to use some nail cutter to take away some skin. And I tried to use a forceps to hold it and take it out. It was a very difficult task just to take out the smallest of the small thing, a thorn that went into his toenail. If it was so painful, even for us to look at it and go, and the pain that he was going through, I can imagine, maybe I can't imagine what Jesus went through. I cannot imagine. The crown of thorns that were pierced into his head, and the blood that was being shed. The Bible says, without shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. A spotless lamb that should shed the precious blood, Jesus was going through. The crown of thorns that was put upon him at Gabbatha. He was going through pain. And then we notice verse 22. What happened? Now we'll jump into Friday afternoon. Many of the places, they gather together from 12 to 3 to commemorate Good Friday. Why? Because it happened. Certain things have happened between 12 and 3 on that Friday, the Good Friday. Note it down, Mark chapter 15, verses 22 to 47. 22 to 47, which is till the end of the chapter. Verse 22. Please read, anyone? Mark 15, verse 22. Yes, they brought him to Golgotha. It was outside the city. That's why I tried to put it outside the box, outside the city. the seventh, journey, the various places that Jesus went through back and forth. And from here, he was taken outside the city to a place called Golgotha or Calvary or the place of skull. Golgotha, where you will see a lot of people who were crucified. They were sometimes thrown there, and their skulls are all lying there. And some say that hill is a shape of a skull. Whichever way we try to understand, this was a place of an atrocious things that would happen there. Verse 24, and they crucified him and divided up his garments among themselves, casting lots to decide which man should eat. It was the third hour when they crucified him. It was the third hour when they crucified him. Or in other words, it happened in the beginning of that time. And we notice the inscription that was written, the King of the Jews, and they crucified him. Let us note down what has happened later that day, around noon time that Jesus went through. Write it down, Golgotha, guest room, Gethsemane, Gabbatha, and Golgotha. The cup of New Testament, the cup of suffering, the crown of thorns, and the cross of Calvary. The cross of Calvary. Again, there was an inscription, verse 26, on the charge against him saying, the King of the Jews. They crucified two robbers with him, one on his right and one on his left. Verse 28, and the scripture was fulfilled. He was numbered with the transgressors. He was numbered with the transgressors. If you see your sermon notes, it tells about that same aspect that is mentioned here, that he was numbered with the transgressors. Last verse, it says he was numbered with the transgressors because two robbers were there as well along with him, one on his right and one on his left. Jesus was crucified on the cross of Calvary. Jesus was crucified on the cross of Calvary. And you know the words that he spoke on the cross of Calvary as well. He starts off saying about forgiveness, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And then to one of the robbers, when he says that we haven't done anything, and he says, remember me. And then he says, today you will be with me in paradise. And then when he sees his mother and John, his disciple, he says, behold your son and behold your mother. And then the fourth word on the cross, Jesus said, my God, why have you forsaken me? That cup of separation that he was going to go through, when he was carrying the sin of the whole world, he made this mention, my God, why have you forsaken me? And then he says, I thirst. When he was thirsty, he said, I thirst. And then the last two words that he mentioned, it is finished. Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. Which was told first? Some people say it is finished was told first. Some people say, Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. But these are the last words that Jesus spoke. Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. And then he said, it is finished. Verse 37, Jesus uttered a loud cry and breathed his last. And the veil of the temple was torn in two from the top to the bottom. We heard about it during the songs also. What happened when Jesus died and uttered a loud cry? The veil of the temple was torn into two. There were a lot of people who were there. The centurion, his life was changed. He said, truly this man was the Son of God. Some women who were following him from a distance. And then, what happened after that? The last thing that has happened that Friday, this is what has happened, my dear. From Golgotha, he was taken to the garden tomb. That is what we read in the evening, verse 42. Verse 42, Mark chapter 15, verse 42. When evening had already come, because it was a preparation day, the day before the Sabbath, Joseph of Arimathea came, a prominent member of the council, who himself was waiting for the kingdom of God, and he gathered up courage and went in before Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Verse 46, Joseph bought a linen cloth, took him down, wrapped him in the linen cloth, laid him in a tomb which had been hewn in the rock, and he rolled a stone against the entrance of the tomb, and it was sealed. His own tomb was given for the burial of Jesus Christ. Jesus came from Mary's tomb and was taken into the Joseph's tomb. This Joseph is different, by the way. Mary's womb and Joseph's tomb. Jesus was born and Jesus died, and he was buried in Joseph's tomb. Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Jesus, was looking on to see where he was laid. While Jesus was going through all these events from Thursday to Friday, on those days, these many things have happened, my dear. These many things have happened. Jesus went through many things at the same time. We notice the one who denied Jesus, he was able to come back to him. He did not take hasty decisions like the one who betrayed him, Peter. He wept bitterly to the extent of being able to stand forth, to come back as a bold person later in the book of Acts. There was this centurion whose life got changed, and he said, surely he was the Son of God. Many people's life were changed. Along with Joseph of Arimathea, there was another person, Nicodemus, who met Jesus in John chapter 3, when he said, how can a person be born again? And Jesus said that he must be born again, not physical birth, but a spiritual birth. And Nicodemus' life has changed, and he had come along with Joseph of Arimathea, as another gospel writer mentions. And they were willing to take Jesus in, and Joseph was willing to take Jesus into his tomb. What about you and I, my dear? Okay, all these events have happened. Jesus was at the guest room. He was at Gethsemane. He was at the Gabbatha. And he was at the Golgotha. For whose sake? For whose sake? For your sake and my sake. He went through sufferings. He went through physical suffering. He went through emotional suffering of betrayal and denial. He went through a spiritual separation, in other words, when he carried the cross of sin of the whole world. He went through spiritual suffering as well. It is for you and for my sake. I get reminded of a story I want to just share with you in conclusion. This happened in Nigeria. Fire! Fire! The neighbor shouted, alerting Ado's mother. This little boy's name is Ado. Alerting Ado's mother that her tiny thatched home was on fire. Flames shot from the roof and walls, and smoke filled the hut. The mother managed to escape, but then she realized that her baby boy was still inside the house. Ignoring the flames and thick smoke that billowed out of the doorway, she ran into the house to rescue her baby. Neighbors held their breath as seconds passed and flames grew brighter. At last, the mother emerged from the burning hut with her baby held close to her body. The little one was safe, but mother had been burned on her arms and face. In time, most of her wounds healed, but her once beautiful face was forever scarred by the fire. Ado grows up to become a strong boy. He noticed that his mother's face did not look like other mothers' faces, but he did not ask why. Someone had told him the story of how his mother had saved him from the fire when he was a baby, but he did not realize that the scars on his mother's face had come because of her love for him. One day, when he was playing with his friends, someone made fun of another boy, but the comment hurt Ado deeply. The boy taunted his friend by saying, "Your face is ugly, like that of Ado's mother. She became an example of ugly faces. Your face is ugly, like that of Ado's mother." The boy bursts into laughter, But Otto stopped in his tracks. Yet, it was true that his mother's face was not pretty to look at. He ran home so his friends would not see the tears forming in his eyes. What happened? Otto hurried into his hut, sat down to think. When his mother came in, she could see that her happy boy was unusually quiet. "Is something wrong, my son?" she asked. Otto thought for a moment and then asked, "Mama, what happened to your face?" "Why do you ask, my son?" his mother questioned, stiffening a bit but trying to be calm. "The boys, one of them told another boy that he was ugly like Otto's mother." "What happened to your face, Ma?" Mother was quiet for a moment. Then she stood up and walked to her drawer and pulled something out. She gave it to Otto. It was the photograph of a beautiful young woman. Otto studied the picture and then looked at his mother. "Is this you?" he asked. "Yes, it was taken before the fire." Otto knew about the fire. He knew that his mother had pulled him from his bed and saved his life. But he had not thought about what her unselfish act has cost her. Otto stood and hugged his mother. Now he understood. His mother had given everything for him. Without her unselfish act, he surely would have died in that fire. He looked up into his mother's face. It was no longer scarred and wrinkled to him. It was beautiful. It was the face of love. Otto squeezed his mother tightly. "To me, you're beautiful. Even more beautiful than your picture." That mother's face totally lost that beauty with scars and the wrinkled face because of the fire. But he knew why his mother had that face. It was because she saved her son from the fire. My dear, Jesus Christ has come into this world to save you and I from our sin. Otto's mother, she was alive, though her face was distorted. But Jesus, he gave his life for us so that we may have eternal life. His face was totally with blood. He was going through so much of suffering with the crown of thorns on his head. That view of the cross, my dear, should really make us realize what Christ has done. Maybe this is the nth Good Friday for you. You have been attending Good Fridays like anything, maybe in the country where you come from, or in this local area, or wherever it is. But how much have you thought about what Christ has done for you? And what is your response to that sacrifice of Jesus Christ? This little boy hugged his mother so tightly. He realized that it was because of the sacrifice of his mother that he could see that love in him. That realization didn't happen to that boy till he grew up and came to that level of asking his mother. Many times we don't realize, my dear. We don't have that realization. You might have thought, oh, something happened to Jesus Christ. He died on the cross. That's it. But the moment you realize that he died for your sake and my sake, my dear, it changes our perspective totally. It changes our perspective totally. He has no form, it says in Isaiah chapter 53. He has no form or comeliness when we see him. There is no beauty that we should desire him. Because the kind of suffering that he went through for us on the cross of Calvary, when you visualize it, when you see videos related to the suffering of Jesus Christ, there was no beauty in him that you should desire him. But he was a man of sorrows, my dear. He borne our griefs and carried our sorrows in verse 4. Can you imagine that? He suffered and died for your sake and my sake. If you haven't received Christ Jesus as your personal Savior and Lord today, if the Lord is speaking to you right now, may you be like Nicodemus, to whom Jesus said, "You must be born again." May we be like the centurion who realized after the fact that he is the Son of God, or God himself coming down in the form of a human being. Or may we be like Peter, whose life changed the moment he realized that he denied Jesus Christ. Where are we? What is our situation? If you haven't received Christ Jesus as your personal Savior and Lord, If the Lord is convicting you right now, speaking to you, not my voice, but if the Spirit of the Lord is speaking to you, do not be disobedient to His voice. Recognize that Jesus died for you on the cross of Calvary for your sins. There is no better day than a Good Friday to receive Jesus Christ into your heart. He has died for you, my dear, for you. Don't you want to accept the fact that He died for me? That realization should result in repentance. To the point of confession, to say that He is my Savior. He is the one who died for me on the cross of Calvary. I am a born sinner. Everyone in this world is born sinner. By nature we are sinners. Not just by actions, but by nature we are sinners. There is no way in which we can come out of our sinful nature other than the one who died for us on the cross to cleanse us from our sins. I plead with you to receive Jesus Christ. If the Lord is speaking to you right now, do not be disobedient to the voice of the Lord. And for those of us who have received Christ Jesus, are we like Peter, unable to be bold enough to accept the fact that Jesus is my Savior, He is mine? Maybe the time has come for us to be able to be bold enough to stand for Him. May we be like Joseph of Arimathea. It says he took boldness and went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus and took Him into his own tomb. May we be like the centurion to recognize that He is the Son of God. We're going to sing a song. A couple of our sisters are going to come and sing this song. This is a Telugu song, but want us to focus on the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Jesus died for us. He shed His precious blood for us. As we sing this song, let us ponder over the sacrifice of Jesus Christ.